WBCN, Boston Emissions with Wheat. Brand new song from them called I Met a Girl, and it's on the Aware compilation, the compilation 9. Aware number 9, and they're the lead song. And wait a second, it gets better than that. Other bands performing on this compilation are Boston's own Blue, Jack Johnson. You know, I don't think I've Alice Peacock, Creeper Lagoon. I mean, you know, how could like you? Yeah, you can't go wrong with Creeper Lagoon being on your record. But then I don't think that maybe Stacey Wilde, but I don't know, you know, that might just be confusing her with like a Stacey Wilde that like dances down at the Foxy Lady or something. And when you speak into these microphones, you've got to speak right up into the microphones. Wheat, we have from left to right, even though, you know, you don't go left to right on your radio, Scott, Brendan, and Rick. And the band Wheat, and that's probably the first time anybody's actually ever introduced you guys individually.
Probably. Yeah.
Everything yeah. pretty much gets credited to Wheat as long as you guys have been doing it. It's always been credited to Wheat.
Yeah. All right.
And has there ever been on your two records that you released in Sugar Free? There was no information as to who was in the band.
No, I think the Japanese release of Hope and Adams actually had the wrong bass player listed as well.
That they would have, yeah.
So, the Japanese version did have, like, credits?
Yeah, it did have credits.
Even though it was wrong credits?
Yep. Yeah, the wrong credits, but...
I mean, those people can't even speak English, so of course you released it to the Japanese people, right?
Exactly. It's like a Penn and Teller kind of act that we do.
Yeah.
There you go. One guy that speaks and the other strong, silent type. But you guys are the three strong, silent types.
That's not very strong.
And then the music just speaks. The music is Penn Jillette, right? Is that right? Or is the other guy? I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, I think it's just realistic. I mean, most bands are like... I mean, you know, most bands, people contribute, but...
Everything.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
I mean,
it's a team. We're like the Patriots. Yeah.
It's a team. It's a team thing.
There's no stars in Wheat, man. Everybody's contributing an equal 33 and a third here.
Exactly.
Okay.
The guy who has 10, but that's another...
I guess we can backtrack a little bit because you're on this compilation. It's an Aware compilation. And is this thing even out yet?
It is.
Okay.
The comp? Yeah.
Yeah, the comp. And did it just come out?
You know, is it in stores yet?
It's
definitely available. It's maybe about a month or so, something like that.
Okay. Now, you guys are on an Aware compilation, and you're the lead song on an Aware compilation. And what a lot of people probably don't even realize is you guys signed a deal with Aware/Columbia Records.
We did.
Kind of breaking your silence a little bit.
a little bit.
Well, I mean, now you're on a label that basically has Train and John Mayer mm-hmm. and Boston's Own Blue, mm-hmm. Five for Fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting label, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, hell. You know, I mean, they've got a lot of, and Ritalin Kids.
Mm-hmm. So, right, yeah, that's right.
Do you know the Ritalin Kids?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, they debuted pretty damn high, too.
See?
So, wow, who was the last person to use this mic, by the way? Is it a beer drinker or something? Like a
Well, we had the Patriots broadcast in here this weekend, so, I mean, there could have been beer drinkers. Why is it?
It's got a good,
smelling,
yeah.
Right?
It's got a good,
right.
Good healthy beer smell.
We can get some Lysol. You can spray that thing down. Now, Jack Johnson, he's not on Aware, is he?
I don't think he is.
You know, I think
I don't think he is.
It may say it on the liner notes, but you don't want to spend time reading it. But
who's Jack Johnson anyway?
The guy, he's got that song from
that guy
Flake. You know, I can picture
the record cover.
Right, he's
the
standing in the rain.
Cover. Yeah, right. Standing in the rain. He's got a rain pocket.
He looks like John Frusciante.
Right,
or
right.
With a haircut. Doesn't he look? Yeah. He looks a little haggard, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. But then again, if you were in the rain, you'd look a little haggard too.
That's true.
I gotta say, when you open up the CD, you open up the booklet. You guys are... That's a nice picture you guys. Yeah, you. Is that the first promo picture?
Actually, no. It's the second.
I don't know. That was...
Did you...
I don't know where that... that photo came from exactly, but it is sort of...
I don't know. Yeah,
well, I mean, I would imagine that now that you're tied to some kind of major label, so to speak.
They do better photos, you're saying?
Well, no, that they, not that they do.
Come up with something better than that?
Or find a better looking band.
Standing in for Wheat will be the Playboy cover girls.
Yeah, right, right. Well, that was really the thing. That's why we never really had pictures before. We didn't really want anyone to see, you know what I mean?
Sad.
This is a sad state of affairs right here.
So you're better off if you don't know. Use your imagination.
I just think it's great that you guys, the last CD came out 1999, Hope and Adams. Here we are in the year 2002. When's the Aware record supposed to come out, and is it recorded?
I think 2005.
I mean, it's taken a while.
We're getting around to it, man. We move slow.
We made an attempt. I mean, we did sign with this with Nude.
Right.
Which was last year or
the
something.
Suede label.
Right.
Exactly.
They lost their, you know, their major tie and...
they lost their label.
They lost their money. And so we, again, were label-less, but...
Now, when you were talking with Nude, and Nude is an English label, and they had a Sony distribution over there. Were the people at Sony already kind of snooping around because of that connection, or no?
They were pretty unrelated, as far as we know. I mean, the Aware thing, they were completely unrelated.
It's okay,
kind of a coincidence, I guess.
Right. And as far as Wheat is concerned, I mean, you guys have made such a bigger splash over in Europe than you have in America. You've got your records out on Sugar Free. I mean, not to say that, like, you know, you guys haven't made an impact in America,
no,
because
true, man.
If you
look at statements, I mean, there's definitely nothing going on in the U.S.
I mean, there's a...
Europe is great, but yeah, like, I mean, just look at like, you know...
Oh, you mean your personal,
stuff,
right,
it's just
right,
horrible.
Right. Oh, I'd like
in
to
the
see
States,
those.
I mean...
The Europe ones are pretty good.
The U.S. ones are absolutely dreadful. Like 1%.
Now,
although we did get
things
played on TNT, the NBA game.
Hoop It Up or something.
What was it?
Behind
something
the
like
basket, under the in
oh,
the
yeah,
paint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the paint.
One of those, like, it must have been like for probably like a millisecond.
I mean, from the other thing that
Rock
happened from
Rock
Hope
Rock
and Adams.
In the rim.
You had a song that was getting, like, it was our local song of the week.
Yeah, that's right. You played it on Friday afternoon, someone told
at
me.
At noon, and if you remember right, 1999 was like Yeah Dude Central. So, I mean, that's like when every, like, hard rock band was, like, getting huge.
Right.
So that's when, you know, your favorite band, Scott, System of a Down, was like, you know, just going.
I like
and,
those
and
guys.
And now that
I
you're on the
right
same label as them, you can probably get that record.
I should get that record. You're right.
Right.
That's the person.
I
just
thought about that. Hope and Adams. What song? What
Don't
song
I Hold You?
About? Oh,
right.
Don't I Hold You.
Right. Exactly.
It was like an afternoon thing that you
and
did.
And it got played, I think, for like 3-4 months straight that nobody thought to even change it here. And it was just great that it was like, you know, here it is again, you know, Friday That's at great. Noon, Wheat.
That's great. I don't think we really
in the,
knew this.
In the middle of like, you know, it would be like Rob Zombie, Wheat, and then System of a Down with Sugar.
That's nice. That's I don't awesome. Think we were really aware of that, you know.
Well, that's when you guys were, you know, hiding.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And, I mean, keeping the profile, like, ultra low.
You know,
right.
It's funny. Is, you know, there's a certain side of everything. You know, you try to keep things yourself, you know, and you try to keep to yourself and do your own thing. And, you know, we're kind of... I think we're protective about what we do.
And do you think that was... Yeah, the bat phone is right. Now, I mean, was that the way it was? I mean, did you guys just feel like, I mean, you wanted to keep it so close to the vest? I mean, you signed with a relatively unknown at that time, Sugar Free Records, who did good things. And, I mean, got your record reviewed into tons of places. And got it over to England somehow and got you recognized over there. And then tours started to fall into place with the first EP/LP.
Yeah, well, you know, there's been so many people that have helped us out. Like, even this last thing, this last break with Nude, you know, when we were thinking, like, now we don't have a label, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's been, like, to the Sims guy who wanted to try to get us local jobs if we needed to, just not to quit. It's funny. I mean, there was actually an offer, I think. And I mean, that's the... you know, a lot of people have done that. And yeah, I guess we haven't been hounds and whores about, you know, self-promotion.
But for the first, I mean, for the first 5 years, essentially, you know, you guys have just been keeping it like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, not to yourselves. I mean, obviously, because you've got the music that, I mean, you know.
No, but we always thought that if you're doing something, you know, no matter where you are, if you're doing something okay, people are going to find it. And they all, you know. I mean, I
would love to think that that was the case. And thankfully, with you guys, it definitely was the case. But, I mean, here we are in 2002, and, I mean, you've really got to raise your hand up high for people to even, like, take notice of you anymore, as far as I'm concerned. There's a very few. I mean, I would think that, like, maybe 1% of the bands that aren't, like, you know, in your face are getting discovered.
Right. We're definitely starting to realize the importance of, you know, exposing yourself, so to speak. Yeah.
that can really
you know, benefit you.
We practice that a lot, actually.
So people are gonna maybe, I mean, for the first time, really recognize you guys as like people and names, and like, hey, that's Ricky Plays in Wheat, you know. Before you guys, because of what you were doing, you kept it a little faceless.
I think it's,
and you let the music do the talking, just like Joe Perry.
I don't think we're going to hire any personal assistants at this point, but I think that it's been a nice, you know, it's been little increments each, you know, and that's the one thing. That's why we're still together. I think that each time it's been another step, little tiny, and it hasn't been anything major. No one recognizes us in grocery stores. Although I will.
Not yet.
Occasionally, yeah. The funny thing is, occasionally someone will, and it's the weirdest thing because, you know, like you're saying, I mean, we are one of the lowest profile three bunch of guys that you can come across in terms of a band. But once in a while, you know, someone will be like, hey, you're that guy from, you know.
Yeah, the other night I saw Shred at the Kay Hanley concert, and he knew who I was.
Yeah,
it was pretty wild.
Did he recognize you?
I was just nodding my head.
Exactly. And that's a major DJ on a major modern rock
One of the
radio stations.
Yeah. I think that you guys have affected probably more people than I have.
You're right there. You're probably right.
Thanks. Now you're unaware. I mean, are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
I mean, this is obviously a very conscious decision. And what made you decide to go with Aware? How did they approach you? Did you approach them? Can you relate that story a little bit?
I don't think any of us are really sure at the where it really was. It our manager? Did he talk to Steve? This guy, Steve, the A&R guy from Aware, you know, is the sort of been the contact person. But I don't really know. Yeah, like, I don't think any of us really know exactly where that first, you know, contact came from, how they talked or whatever the initial. All of a sudden, it was just like they were kind of around. You know, they kind of knew we were around. We kind of knew they were around. We kind of knew that they.
That Steve
at least liked us and all. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't really know anything about Aware as a label. I really didn't. I don't pay much attention to that.
No, I mean, it was just so far too out of the scope of what, you know, we had even, you know.
Maybe you heard that Boston Person Blue got signed.
Didn't know
to the
that.
Label.
No, I don't even know. I've never that, actually heard Blue, but I hear it's very good.
I think when we started talking to them, that hadn't even really started.
We didn't know about Blue, in fact, until we sat down to lunch with the Aware guys in Boston.
Right.
And they were like, oh, you know, we were talking about just generalities about music and bands and stuff. And they're like, yeah, we just signed Blue. You know, you guys live in Boston and you know the guy. And we're like, wow, no way.
That's great. Who is he?
Right. No, I mean, he's been around for a little bit, right?
No,
he's been
he has.
Been
yeah,
for like 5 years or something.
Absolutely. Right.
But I think it was really, they heard a song that they really liked. I mean, and I think that that's probably what happened. You know?
Because I would think that, like, a lot of majors at the time of Hope and Adams, a lot of majors were, like, I mean, they knew the story of Wheat, and they were watching you
people
guys a little bit.
People came to see us. I mean, people
here and there.
Would, yeah, they would come to see us, and, like, I remember when we were in L.A., you know, that guy Tony Berg came.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know, and he's been a fan. I mean, he talked about the first record, and he talked about having the tin, and, you know, and we were talking about rock movies. But I think that's as far as it went. People were just, you know, guys from Virgin came, and the guy from Dream, you know, so people would come and see us and talk to us, and we kind of had, like, little acquaintance relationships with them, but Yeah, it wasn't until... Yeah.
Never any substantial
offers. I think this probably... It's probably... You know, not so so that it doesn't seem like... I don't know. I mean, you get... You talk to these guys and stuff, but I would think that, you know, from a major label perspective, wheat is a difficult... You know, it's a difficult sort of like
might be a hard sell.
Yeah. How do you do that? Where's the niche? What's the market that you send that to? Like, I don't know anything about record promotion in that, and none of us really do. That's why we're not record guys in that way. But I mean,
that's why I'll let somebody else do it.
Yeah, somebody else do it. Exactly. But it's like, yeah, I would just sort of first guess, imagining. I'm imagining it's not the easiest band to. I mean, look, all we've been talking about is how faceless
you guys have been, right?
So it's not the easiest thing to, like, oh, here's these guys who hide themselves, don't mention themselves, you know, and in every way try to sidestep any kind of any notice.
And that's been the case, but I mean, didn't somebody like say to you guys, like, you know, well, what if we took a picture of you guys? Do you think you'd break the camera?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's not like we haven't taken pictures and stuff.
But I mean, you know,
like we haven't done, you know, like, done any of that stuff. But,
right.
But we definitely, I mean, in some ways, I don't, you know, I mean, it's not like we had like necessarily like a strategy to hide under a rock.
Right.
It just kind of turned out that way. You know, we sort of, you know, coming out of the indie rock thing. And I mean, in some ways, I don't think we're any less, I don't think we were trying to be any more anonymous or anything than anybody else does. You know,
right.
We're sort of doing our thing. I mean, even with the beginning with Sugar Free, I mean, we weren't we were trying to get signed. They just came along and that happened. I mean, everything that's kind of happened with us is just sort of, all right, this just sort of has happened, you know.
Right, it's organically kind of grown.
Right.
Yeah, like wheat.
And each thing has been more interesting, you know. I mean,
gluten-free.
Just, you have to kind of keep it interesting, and it's gotten more and more interesting, but there was, you know, I was talking about being a little bit protective of what we did. I mean, I know I personally, I can't speak for these guys, but I personally wasn't interested in being a Boston celebrity, you know? Like, I just wasn't. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I just, you know, there's trappings, like, at every level in this business.
Right.
And, like, if you're not careful, you end up...
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think that that's the only thing that's been conscious.
But now, Scott, you're ready for it.
Well,
because it could happen. Yeah. It could happen. It really, like,
I live in a little town, you know,
right,
like an hour away.
Right.
So
but it's still, like, I mean, it's still...
I have
still,
a farm, you know.
Right, but it's still, like, I mean, if your music gets picked up, and, I mean, you know, I don't think that anybody thought that John Mayer was going to be such the huge successes he's become. And, I mean, he has, and, I mean, Train has through Aware, and this is just like a label that has been able to find the sound.
Yeah, I mean, even Aware claims to be amazed by John Mayer's success.
Everyone, I mean, it's amazing.
They're
it's
going, amazing. Woohoo, every day in the offices. Yeah.
You know, that's the cool thing about Aware, I think, for us, but we all talked about it. It's like, wow, what a goof, you know? I mean, wouldn't that be interesting to, you know, it just seemed more interesting than, say, going after, like, you know, I don't know, merge,
right,
or I mean, something,
right,
that's much,
right,
you know,
yeah, something,
just,
right.
It's just kind of goofy, and like, why not, you know, make a jump? Why not?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and also, doesn't it give you a chance to just do this full time?
Yeah,
we've been finding a way to do that for
years.
A couple of years now.
Years, actually.
I don't know really how, but we somehow managed to have been, you know,
smoke and mirrors, trickery. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we haven't, you know, we've only worked for ourselves for the last few years.
Okay, there's a show coming up this Friday night at the Middle East Downstairs. It's Junior Corduroy and Emitrex. Great show. Like, I mean, this is going to be amazing.
I think it'll be a good one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's a great lineup of bands right there. And I know that you're friendly with all those bands, the two bands that are playing with you, probably even handpicked
for
that show, right?
It's the first time we did. It's kind of...
Which is nice.
It was pretty fun.
And this is your first show out in a little while, like the first show for the summer.
Yeah, definitely for the summer. I think the last time we played was the end of March or something like that.
TT's or something?
Yeah.
And that, in fact, that was like a show that...
It was our showcase.
That was our showcase when the Aware guys came down for that one. And
TT the Bears.
TT the Bears, man.
How's that for a showcase?
You gotta love that.
Very good time.
See, again, you know, we're really going for the throat.
Yeah.
Put ourselves in the best possible light, the best sound system you can, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, Friday is, have you discussed anything about going out with some of these bands? Like, I mean, I mean, you guys could go out. Like, I mean, I would
think
that Train is, like, off the road now. But, like, I mean, John Mayer, I mean, has anybody, like, got him a copy of your music and, like, you know?
No, but, you know, Jimmy Eat World has asked us, like, three times. And we wanted to go, and three times we haven't been able to do it. And I think that that would be mental.
That would be huge.
It would be great because they just seem to rock, and it's like...
they're coming from the same ballpark as you guys a little bit.
Well, they say that.
Somewhat, yeah.
I think that they are. But, I think that, you know, because they started, I mean, even though they've been a major label band for their whole career pretty much, they still, like, have very strong ties to the indie rock world, or the emo.
Emo.
Right.
Whatever. I don't want to go there, but anyways.
Neither do we.
But I think that would be a great tour for you guys.
Where is that? That's the problem.
We sort of consider ourselves post-emo.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so do we know when the Aware debut is going to come out? Do we have nothing?
We don't.
Next year, hopefully, but
is it recorded?
No, we're starting.
Okay, and where does this song come from? I Met a Girl.
It's going to be a song that's going to be on the new record, but that's one that we just happened to get done over the winter. We kind of finished it, I guess, in the spring or something at Fridman Studio.
Okay, and you're also on not using Dave Auchinback anymore, huh?
Oh no, we've always used Fridman, Dave. We've always used both. Actually.
I'm just kidding.
No, Dave Auchinbach is definitely very much a part of the team. He's the
he'll be there Friday night. Actually,
very great. Yeah. I mean, he's a good guy.
He sure is.
Okay, you're also on this compilation called the Amos House Collection Volume 2, which means there was a Volume 1. Mm-hmm. Can you explain to me what the Amos House is? Do you know?
I believe it's a shelter, isn't it? I believe it's a shelter.
I'm pretty sure
for homeless folks to kind of get them back on their feet, and I think.
You share space on this compilation with Spoon, Bright Eyes, Junior Corduroy, Elf Power, Skating Club, bunch of bands.
So
Ida.
Who's who?
Yeah, it sure is. It's a
cross section.
Elliot Smith is on here.
Yeah. Hey,
sure.
This is great. And we're gonna play a song from this. You lead off this compilation as well. You guys are good lead off hitters.
I think no one knows where to put us.
That's because we're good at stealing.
That's right. You're fast.
Yeah, exactly. Quick to get out the door. Yeah.
Okay, well, Friday night, Middle East Downstairs is the first time in the whole summer and, first show of the fall, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's going to rock,
right?
I'm excited about it.
It will. And thank you very much, Scott, Brendan, and Ricky.
Thank you very much for dropping by
BCN Studios. This song is called Test Tones, Demo for the Flaming Lips. Why? Why is it a demo for the Flaming Lips? Explain that?
Well, the Lips had done a demo for Tom Waits, and I thought the likelihood of anyone doing any of those songs would just be just as absurd as Tom Waits doing it. So there you go.
So there you have it. Okay, well, thank you very much. Friday night, Middle East Downstairs.
All right, thank you.
We on WBCN, Boston Emissions.